Let's go ahead and get started. And I'd love to ask for your patience this morning because we are on a second week of Elohim and it's, we call it a devotional week where you hopefully had time to meditate on that and see where our conversations go. All right, let's pray. So Father, we come before you again, and we want to ask that you would let yourself be made known to us. We are hungry to know you. We are hungry to understand you more. And I pray that through the Spirit given revelation, Lord, you would allow us to see you illuminated for us. And we want to know you because we love being drawn into the worship of who you are. Elohim, we know that if every galaxy that you have created worships you, then so will I. If every cell moves at your direction, under your sovereignty, so will I. And so, Lord, give us a sense of awe of you and a deep appreciation that we have the Word, and through the Spirit, we have the Word revealed. I pray for your anointing over all the classes, every single gathering where they are looking at your Word and looking at you. I pray that nothing will be about trying to learn more knowledge about you, but through what we glean, or that we would know you, and it would draw us into a more intimate closeness with you. Father, we thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, so last week we had gone through our first class of Elohim, so I'm asking you again, is to be patient, because what we're doing is, through the suggestion of the class, we're going through 2 weeks on every name. That means during the week before the second week of class, you have a chance to let these concepts soak. And Frank designed this class on a website so that you can just pop it open and you can have I think I could do the cell phone view, huh? This is the cell phone view. Ooh, that's kind of cool, huh? So if you have a cell phone or computer, you can just go onto this link at home. So what I'd like to do is see if this works. If any of you, we talked about this last week. I'll just go through it. So I have to keep this here, right, Frank? I have to keep this here. And we have a lot of technical things that we're learning about. I'm not really a fan of presenting through website, but last week, if you want, I could just scroll through. Can you guys see the font better this week? Okay. So we spent our time camping in verses 1-5. That's where we spent. And I want to give you guys a chance to gather in your groups to talk a little bit about what you thought about this week, or if you had any more observations, if you had any more thinking about this, if you applied praying to Elohim, what was that like? Because we're going to do that at the end of every class. So at the end of class today, we're going to have open prayer to Elohim. We talked about why do you think God chose to introduce himself to us as Elohim? I don't really know what to do to review. Kind of weird. We talked about, this is dumb, you just listen to Cordy. How about you guys just get together in your groups? And if you want to look through the slides, look through it on your own. And so online, go ahead and get together and let's just call it, like, let's give you a minute each, get in a little group of three. So we'll give you 3.5 minutes. Does that work? Can we do halves? 4 minutes, round up?
What are we talking about?
We're in a class studying LLP.
Okay, I was trying to help you right now. But we're talking about, sorry, can you escape in?
Just what reflection you had from last week. And if you didn't think about it during that week, you know, may God have mercy on your soul. But it's okay. It's okay if you didn't, if you neglected to think about it. That's what we want to encourage you to do. That's what the purpose of why Daniel said it'd be nice if we had extra time to think about it. Okay? And it's okay if we don't do any reviews and see where you guys go. We want to give room for the Holy Spirit and the class to be flexible. If you don't, I have stuff. Even this week I was looking at it again and I added stuff because I'm like, this is so good, right? So good. Frank and I enjoy this. It makes me so excited. And I was telling our prayer meeting, I was like, man, the way Frank teaches inspires me to, like, it challenges me to teach in a different way. And I enjoy that. It makes me excited. So go ahead and get in your groups. Daniel will split the online people into a group. And groups of 3-4, you can mix around. You don't have to sit next to the people next to you, you know. And you don't have to feel offended because you're just like, hey, let's find a group where I'm, you know, I feel good. I feel like I could get here. You know, I could open up. Okay, 4 minutes. All right, how did everybody's discussion go? Anything that you guys wanna just pop out that stood out from your group that you thought, oh, it's really good that, you know, that was a good refresher or somebody brought up a good point from last week? Anything? Chat people. You can feel free to chat. Anything interesting in the groups? Not so much. Some of these we didn't talk about. When we think about, I think Ryan and Peter talked about this. Other people talked about this, that God is so powerful. God is so powerful that he spoke creation into place by his mouth. So there's this power of God's word, spoken word. And I had this question, we skipped it last week in class, just to leave this as a, so I don't know if you guys know what I'm doing, like if we're skipping through some of the questions, that's a good one to go back to on your own during the week to reflect on, right? But if God's spoken word is this powerful to set creation into place, if God's spoken word created out of nothing, not one particle existed, and his spoken word created this and unfolded this plan, how do you think he would react when we doubt his promises, his words? How do you think God might react to that? How does God feel? What do you guys think?
He could feel insulted,
right, slightly.
But I think he's so much beyond that, and he doesn't have any insecurities. So I think he understands. I don't expect you to understand or even believe what you can't comprehend.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of grace in it.
God has grace.
How could you not? You know, that's
right,
an insecure statement, right?
Right. So, it's either insecure or, like, is insulted insecure?
Kind of both, yeah.
I could see insecure. I don't know about insulted being insecure, right? You know, I don't want to mince words or play around with words too much, but, you know, yeah, it's making me think, because if you are a sovereign, if you're like a royalty, for instance, and a nobody treats you like junk, you may not feel insecure, but you're insulted. I don't know. Same thing.
Oh, man.
guys, but I also think it's like, again, if you're like, no, if I were to say to, you know, the king of England, you're horrible at your job, you know, it's like, what do I know about his job, right?
Yeah.
He'd be like, okay, thanks for your input.
Yeah.
It's, it is kind of insulting that you would say that.
Okay, yes, yeah, yeah, I'm secure.
Yeah.
Yeah, your words don't really affect.
I think my action, our action is insulting, but I don't know if he's always feels insulted.
I love that. I went down the same path. Frank, you're gonna say something. I can see.
I think that's why there's a word in the Bible instead of insulting. I think that's why it says God is jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why when he's always jealous of his people going to other gods for help.
Right.
You don't think I can do it. Therefore, but he does say he's not insulted, but maybe, but he's definitely jealous.
Right.
He has that character of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to another source than other than the source.
Or to not trust his words, right? If we meditate on Elohim being like spoken word from God is this powerful, and yet now I have your promise, your word, and I'm like, I just doubt that you can do, I doubt that you can really give me peace. Right. I doubt that you can give me this hope. I doubt that you can heal. I doubt, you know, like it's written right here, but I can't really believe that that can be for me. I've heard a few times at our church, believe it or not, someone or people have said, in a particular way of God, okay, regarding, I'll be specific. Regarding forgiveness, right, and bitterness. See, God lays out this design. We call it commands, but God lays out these designs for life. Unforgiveness leads to anger, which leads to bitterness. The Bible says, the Word of God says, bitterness is actually bad for your body. Health-wise. So if you have unforgiveness, which ends up in bitterness, that's bad. That's bad for your skin and bones, you know? That's bad for your gut health. Anxiety is not good for your gut health. You know, anxiety is not good for your body. These things that God designs, we call them commands, it's a way of living. And people have said, you know, I've heard it said like, God doesn't really expect me to like not forgive. This, the thing that someone has done to me, I cannot forgive. Or the things. God really doesn't expect me to like forgive that. There's a doubt in there, right? There's a doubt when you're like, but I was thinking the same way as Rebs, because when I was thinking a few examples, if you had spent time meditating on this, you'll realize when you look at, is there a good check? Yes. Okay, good, yeah. I don't think God, Bob says, I don't think God is disappointed or mad or saddened or whatever negative emotions. God loves us too much. God will give us a chance to know him as he ought to be known, which he is all powerful. Yeah, because look at this. When Abraham and Sarah doubted, right? His response, what was God's reply? He didn't say, shame on you. I'm Elohim. His words to them was, hey, I know you don't understand this, but is anything too hard for Elohim? Anything hard for Yahweh? Is there anything too hard for me to accomplish, even though you don't believe that at your crazy old age, I can give you an offspring? He didn't shame them. He didn't shame them, right? He gave them this word. I think there are some instances like where like people are in disobedience, right? Like when Israelites heard from the 12 spies or the 10 spies that gave a bad report of the land of Canaan. And that whole generation wasn't allowed to, that was a consequence of disobedience. I think God has that. A whole generation had to die before Deuteronomy for them to, the next generation to enter into the promised land. So there's consequence. Moses had a consequence. You can see it. But that's different from in these instances where there's like, God, I'm struggling. I really don't think you could come through. You promised me descendants. We're like close to 100 years old. It ain't physically possible anymore. And God says, is anything too hard for that? Yes.
I would imagine for God, it's not the doubting or the questioning or wondering that is that like gets to him in a negative way. Maybe it's the not listening. Like after we throw out this, I don't know how that's gonna happen, and then we turn a deaf ear when God wants to teach us or explain to us, like or even show us, and we're just like, I don't think you can, and then turn away and not listen, not look. I think that's where God gets frustrated. Like, I would show you, I would help you with that. And I think, you know, just kind of reflecting even with my child, when he's like questioning me, like, I don't go, oh, how dare you question me? It's more, okay, well, listen, let me explain to you.
Let me show you it's possible.
And there are days where he's like, no, I still think I'm right. I'm like, okay, well, you'll learn, you know, and there's nothing, but I know that he heard me. But if he were to just, I don't think you're right, and just walk away and don't want to listen to my response, then I would get like, oh, no, like, that's not right. And I think maybe that's where, as a creator, the offense comes from a closed ear or not Shema in the Lord, right?
Right, a closed ear. I don't know if you caught the subtlety in Reb's language. It's, there is a difference between wondering, questioning, doubting versus, okay, God is like shown it. He's shown me the fruit of the promised land or whatever. He's already shown me he brings victory. He's shown me, he's told me, and now I'm like outright, forget it. I've closed my ears. I've closed my ears to you. Right? There's a difference with that.
What's the closing of the ear? What do you think that looks like?
I think in the case of like Israel, in that instance I just threw out, I don't even know if that applies, but that's the first thing that popped in my mind. God says, go into the land and take it.
No.
And they're like, no, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to walk in faith, right? Abraham and Sarah, I know this is gross. But I remember it was like my children worship teacher that had to say this. It was like they had to apply the promise at an old age. What do you mean?
That's gross.
Right? That's gross. You know, like an old couple, you know, you're like, man, you gotta like, you know, go for it. You gotta obey. You gotta lead the action. And you're like, what? That's faith. I mean, tonight by faith, you know, like I wrote that word for Mary. She wondered how as a virgin she could bear a child. And God's reply wasn't shame. It wasn't like, you know, it was nothing will be impossible. So I wanted, you know, that was something for you guys to chew on during the week. I'm going to skip all those because you guys could go back to do this. I don't want to drag the class through that, but I have another section here for this week so that I could teach. What else does Elohim tell us about God? What else does Elohim tell us about God? All right, let's read through this passage. Any volunteers to read? Where's my readers? I just need people who just jump in. I don't care if you're an eloquent reader. It's just, hey, some high school students, you know how to read. Okay, Abby, yes, thank you.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called light, and there was evening, and then the first.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you could open your Bibles. You know, it's always good because, you know, 6 through 8 is also really good. I just skipped it because I can't fit it all in here. And the font is now like at 400, you know. Verse 9 and on. Someone else? Anybody else? Claire, go ahead.
And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so.
The question that I have is, what does this tell us about Elohim? In chapters 1 and 2, Elohim is the word that is used for God. Everywhere you see God, God said, and God saw, and God said. You know, everywhere you see God, it's Elohim, or Elohim. The question is, what does the text tell us about Elohim? I'm going to guide you with that. Get into your groups, online and here. What verbs do you see God performing in verse 3 through 11? So you're going to need your Bibles. And maybe a little note taker if you want, or whatever, and we can write them down. Get in your groups and look at the verbs. And as you look at the verbs, what picture kind of do you get of God? What picture do you get, right? I want to ask you that question. What picture do you get of God through his word, right? What is he doing through these verbs? The verbs give you a picture. I don't know if it gives me a picture. So I'm not sure if it gives you a picture, but go ahead and look through those verses, have your Bible open, get into your group, John, join a group, and what do the verbs in verse 3 through 11, what picture does it give you about Elohim? And scripture will reveal something about Elohim here. So go ahead and get in your groups, about 5 minutes. Okay, so we're all back together. Online, feel free to chat in your thoughts. What verbs do you see? And what does this tell you? What picture does it paint about Elohim? What does this reveal to us about God Elohim, who is mentioned like 30 plus times in the first two chapters of the Bible? What does this tell us about Elohim? What picture does it give you? And what are the verbs? Let's go through the verbs again. Shout them out.
Said.
Yeah, God said.
Was.
Uh-huh.
Separate.
Okay. Right, God saw. Separated. He called. Anything that you guys start to see a picture there, as you say something, he's beginning it, he sees it, he's separating something, and then he's naming things, right? That's what he's doing, right? He's naming things. And what else is he doing? He's, give me some other verbs. He's, okay, verse, how about verse 6? I don't have it in here. I'll grab my Bible open. Anything else in there? Okay, same thing, right? He's separating, he's calling, he's naming. I mean, think about this, like, when you see, you know, why do you name things? Why do you interact with stuff and move it around? And you're like, you know, there's a boy at our church that I think used to keep a lot of stuffed animals. And then he would like, put some over here, make a little like map on his bed with his blankets. And then, right, he's creating mountains over here. And okay, here's, okay. And you are, and you are, and you, and what is that? What is this picture that you get? Huh? Why are you guys laughing, huh?
Bob says it sounds like me.
Good. Bobby, you are not here, but you're bringing the class a lot of laughter. That's good stuff. Yeah, sounds like you, right? So you know, someone who's like messing, and then waters are gathered. He's like, I'm gonna put the waters over here. Dry land's gonna be here, right? And he said, okay, I'm gonna call you this. I'm gonna call this this. And I'm gonna create this system here. I heard automation or like this kind of like reproductive thing going on, right? So Kai, the question here since you came in is like, what are these verbs telling us about Elohim, right? And so you see this picture of words, but what do you see is going on, right? There's like, okay, here's, you know, I thought about that boy at our church, right? Who's like, oh, okay, here's mountain, here's a little cave, and you're gonna live here. I'm gonna call this area this, and you're designing, and you're like, wow, okay, I'm gonna call you this. You guys live here, you guys do this, you guys do this. What is the picture that you're getting?
Originally, it was like observant and meticulous and detailed, but like your description makes it sound like playful and creative.
Oh, playful and creative.
Uh-huh. The way you're describing like a kid, like
yeah, like and meticulous, right? You know, there's like it's perfect.
Yeah, and then like I said, like observant, like he said it first, and it came out. And he looked at it first, and then he's
yeah.
Like, now what do we do with this? Because
yeah. Yeah, God was looking at what he was doing, right? So I heard automation, but automation sometimes may give you the connotation of like, I'm going to set it in play. A lot of people have this struggle as if God is this grand master who set the scheme, set the thing in motion, and like left it to go. Right, that type of automation. Like I'm gonna like set it going. I'm gonna spin the top, and I'm gonna leave. Here it's saying that even in the midst of parts of creation, God is like making it and looking at it, and going, wow, right. And then as he sees it, it's after he sees it, then he is like separating it. Right, it's like I do it. Ooh, now I'm gonna do this. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to call, I'm going to give you a name. What other things did you guys come up in your groups? So there's like automation, creativity, meticulous, playful. What else? How about you guys? Anything else? Okay, growth and order. That tells you something about God? Or that tells you about his creation? What's it telling you about God? Elohim. Okay, that's cool. Hey, that's cool. I believe that these reveal a very personal and engaging character of Elohim. I believe that from the very first words of Scripture, Elohim wants us to know that he's very personally involved.
Like the naming, right? Like that shows, like,
yeah.
You care about it.
That's why, I mean, I kind of sped up the process. That's why I kind of thought of this example right now of like this boy who would like create his own like world, not create, right? But like make out of things that exist, right? Something on his bed and naming his animals and creating a whole scenario, right? You're very engaged. You're into it. You're very into what you're doing. And I believe that from the very first page of Scripture, Elohim is showing us, I'm not just almighty where every cell bows to me, but I'm in this. I'm committed. I'm engaged. And I'm very personal with what I'm doing. I do love the groups are picking up. You guys are picking up things like God did set the word I didn't think of as automation, but the word that I thought of is he's kind of set the course for like reproduction. Like those things move in its, right? He's got the vegetation that bears seed, that grows more, produces fruit with seed, and it will repopulate itself. Those are all set on a course. Notice if you spend time to reflect on this, God is very engaged in that, but he never has to command creation, like the rest of creation, to do another thing. You see that? The plant doesn't have a will, does it? The plant doesn't say, I doubt what you want me to do, God, right? Everything in creation outside of us just obey. It just goes. They have no choice. They just worship, you know, in a sense. We have to have this thick book with commands and stuff and revelation. But that's a side note. I don't want to dwell on that one too much. In Genesis 3, we begin to see another verb. Elohim is walking in the garden in the cool of the day, calling out to Adam and Eve. So God is walking in the garden. That's how personal and engaging he is. I created this, and I created this special area, right? Imagine the boy on the bed. He's like, this special area is for you. Like, you're my special ones. You know, these stuffed animals, they're like, not as important, but for you, you guys get the best area of the bed. And God says, I'm going to walk in there with you. I'm going to walk there with you. Wow, that's kind of, right? So it gave me the picture of like this very involved person, right? He's very involved. Yes, he's creative. He's meticulous, but he wants to put the name. He wants to provide identity. He wants to provide direction. He wants to like get his proverbial like hands dirty, even though he didn't have to use his hands. But even with his words, he's like all in there. You see what I mean? Like that's something. He could have just said everything, like, and God created everything. Elohim created everything, and that's it. We could have just been given that. But the word is so rich that when you camp on that, there's so much it reveals about him, right? There's some more I'm going to cover with you guys.
I also had a thought on, you know, when you said he didn't use hands, but he used words, mm-hmm. and his words got in there. Well, Book of John says he was the word. The mm-hmm. word was with God. He was
That's
the
right.
word was God. So it's like he injected himself mm-hmm. into that creation. Mm-hmm. And it also makes me think of, well, like, him walking in the garden, he created this thing and he's inhabiting it. Mm-hmm. Like, when we think about creating something and inhabiting it, we usually call it our home, mm-hmm. right? So it's as if he created a home for his created, but also for him to enjoy and be in and call it a place, like his place. Also, so that's really intimate.
Yeah, how many kids who build a little fort for their stuffed animals and stuff, like they're sleeping in there at night, right? It's like, I'm sleeping in here. Like, I made this. I'm going to be in this, right? I like that. Here's some questions for you to think about on your own. Hint again, you could have a devotional week on your own, but no one will ask you. If Elohim is really this engaged and personal, how might that idea strengthen your faith? If God is this personal with the things that he said into automation, how engaged do you think he is with you? And how might that strengthen you today? Right? Okay, another one. Oh, I got like two more to go. Do you guys want to learn about, you want me to just speed it up? I can speed it up, or, huh? No?
Why would you
think we could all
do it? I could.
It's a month that we shave.
Sometimes, huh?
Why would we need to speed up?
Because I have like 7 minutes left, and I have two more sections. And I like both of them. The second one I love because I found it this week. All right, let's go through it. And if we hang around a little bit, if that's cool with you guys, probably not enough children worship tells me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. I don't know if you ever noticed this phrase, but I think we have before. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Hebrew translated word for formless and void is tohu wabohu. You guys say that together? Let's say that together. Tohu wabohu. You who are at home, say that. Tohu wabohu. It's a cool word. I think Frank and I like to find these. I'm like Frank. I pluralize every word. Franks and I likes to find these like cool words, and tohu wabohu. And it gives you that like gutter, you know, that deep gutter of tohu wabohu. It's formless and it's void. This phrase basically means a garbage dump. It's a wasteland. When the earth was formless, tohu wabohu, it's like a wasteland.
Uninhabitable.
You can't live there. Life cannot exist. Okay? So wasteland. It's a garbage dump. You can't live in a garbage dump. I mean, in cartoon movies, you can't. The Hebrew word for darkness is hosek. Say hosek. So some theologians say that during this time between verse 1 and 2, this is when Satan fell. We know Satan and the angel, Lucifer and the other angels, fell before the creation of man, right? This is where some theologians say, you don't have to believe that, by the way. Not all theologians have the same position, nor are they all right. Some theologians say, this is when Lucifer fell. And when he was kicked out of heaven, this is where they went to start to cause trouble first. Anything that Satan and demons get involved in is to reverse goodness into badness. And what he did in turning creation into a wasteland, we have to remember, is Satan's end goal in our lives. He wants to create chaos in our lives. He wants to create rebellion in our hearts. He wants to give us reason to doubt God and to become a stinky soul. That's biblical. That's a theological term, stinky soul. He wants our soul to stink. He wants our soul to be somewhere where life doesn't want to exist. Chaos, he uses. Formlessness, void, tohu wabohu. He wants to bring tohu wabohu into your life. But when you think of verse 2, and when you read that, what is significant about verse 2? Even in the midst of tohu wabohu, and someone mentioned this last week, what do you see in verse 2 that's significant? In the midst of tohu wabohu and hosek,
spirit of God,
the ruach of Elohim, the ruach of Elohim, the spirit of God was there and hovering. If this is what Satan did, according to some theologians, if this is what Satan did, setting up a tohu wabohu situation, what does this tell us about Elohim? Even in the midst of chaos and darkness and void, even in the situation of your life on the brink of a wasteland, what is Elohim here the Ruach Elohim, right? The Spirit of God. What does it tell you about Elohim? And what he did in verse 3. What does he do? See, this is why we have to do small groups, because no one talks.
Well, I think depending on what you believe, I kind of believe that there's something was there before creation, right? Because in the Hebrew Bible, they actually say it could say in a beginning, not in
sure.
the beginning. So yeah. There was other things that's going on. So actually, God could be not creating, but he's actually reversing the chaos from the beginning. That's why he's separating the bad stuff. He's making it. So, and that's what God does, right? He actually likes to take the bad stuff and make it beautiful.
Right, outside of the multiverse stuff that we talked about. Yes.
Well, the multiverse.
Yeah.
The multiverse.
God is
what you're asking here. Uh-huh. Is like, it seems like he's restoring.
Right.
And he's.
Right.
He's not really creating. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
He's actually making the bad.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Okay. And when he sees bad, he restores that. When he sees your life on the brink of wastelandness or chaos, know that he is a restorer of that. That's so cool. Elohim is the restorer.
Can you say that God looks for the bad so he can restore it?
I think that's why he leaves the 99.
Look for the bad.
I think that's why Jesus says, I've come for the sick. It's the sick who need healing. It's not those who are well or think that they're well. I think God always goes to find the wayward, the bad, the lost. He finds the chaos to say, I want to bring back, you know, and where there's darkness in your life, he wants to, verse 3, Ruach Elohim, bring the light and separate it. So some questions for you to like meditate on if you want to go back to the website. We spend time typing extra stuff for you in there. These are just questions for that. The last one, 5 minutes, or you guys just want to end? 5 minutes. Children worship is over. So we all know this, that in chapter 2, God finished the heavens and the earth and everything in his creation. He said that it was what? After he created humans, he said, not that it was just good. After he created us on the sixth day, he said, it is what? You guys know this, right? Come on, let's just shout it out. Like, let's not waste time, really. Very good. What day did Elohim create mankind? I just said it. Sixth day. And is it significant that we were created on the sixth day? Nancy, you nodded your head, yes. Why is it significant that he created us last?
It's like, you know, I see it as speaking about pictures, like it's a building block up until the sixth day, all of that was kind of made perfect for the thing that is very good, which is us.
Mm-hmm. Right. God was creating everything for us to inhabit it. Just like the boy who sets up his whole bed, his whole, you know, little world, to be able to put his stuffed animals finally in it. The fort is finished, right? I've made that. Here's my question for you. If Elohim means mighty God and holds all the power, and he created the whole universe with spoken word, why would he need rest? We know that God rested, but why would he need rest?
Well,
I mean, he has endless, infinite power. Why do you think he would need rest? Or he chose rest. He chose to rest. Why? You guys want to talk about it in your groups for about 3 minutes? And we'll come back for the last two. Go ahead. And what is this? What can this tell you about Elohim? So why would God, I'll probably change that word. I don't think he needed rest. Why did God choose to rest though? Because he doesn't really have the need. He's limitless. He's infinite with power. But why do you think he would rest? And he made the rest special. I don't know if you noticed that. Right? He blessed that day of rest, and he made it holy. What is the reason, do you think, that God would choose to rest?
In the word there is, it says at the very end that he had done. So on one hand, he's done, but then he also said he wanted to enjoy it, right? Like,
that's
his word, so
I like that.
Sit back and like,
I like that.
Enjoy what you did.
Yeah, I like that. Anybody else had that observation? Yes, Amy.
When you're saying that, like, it's like when you finish a project.
Yeah.
And like, you finish it and then you sit back and enjoy how good it is.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. You finish a project. I'm so glad you guys are getting this from the scripture itself, saying he had done. He rested from, he's done. Do you believe that God had a plan in creation, or was it kind of random as he went along? Do you think he had a plan? Yes, perfect plan. So he had a plan. He got really engaged in it. If the enemy got involved, he restored it, right? It's like the little boy who's making the world on his bed, and his little sibling comes and like wrecks a part of it, and he has to push the, you know, shut the door on the little boy and like restore it. And then when you're all done with everything you set out to do, like Abby said, it's like when you finish that project, you just sit back, you look at it, and you can admire it. And you can say, that was really good. In our case, sometimes we're like, I don't know if that's really an A level work, right? Or I don't know if my employer will be happy. And then on that day of rest, he blessed it and he made it holy. He made it special. He set it apart. Now, you have a question? Oh, just scratch your armpit. Okay. Just kidding. I love teasing Ryan. I love having Ryan in these classes. It's good stuff, man. In youth group, man. I always need someone to pick up. So when we will never finish something to 100% completion the way God does. But I heard in this group, like, God set a model. God set an example. Had this debate with Bethany, this ongoing debate of like, okay, do your best, but I could have done better. Yeah, you could have given up your health. You could have given up sleep. You could have done better. You could have like never come to church for your studies. You could quit volleyball for your studies. Yeah, you could have. There's always better. I could do better. No, you know what? In the constraints of life and the things that you have prioritized, you have done your absolute best. And you And God gives you the permission. Listen to that. God gives you the permission to now sit back and look back. So I'm going to admire that. I'm going to admire that I work real hard. And I'm done. Today I'm done. Today I just want to live in this blessed day, this sanctified day. Because Elohim modeled that for me. What does it tell you for your life? This is for you to reflect on. What does it tell you for your life? That God always finishes what he sets out to do. See, that's something to reflect on. Like, that's what got me, right? He always completes what he plans to do. He always finishes it. If he began a good work in you, he will see it to completion. You may feel like you're in a moment of like funk. You're in a weird place. You're like, I'm not close to God, man. I'm struggling. I got all these things competing in my life. I'm distant from the Lord, but he's not done with you. He will not leave you incomplete. Right? Jeremiah 29 says this. For I know the plans I have for you, he says, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. How does the fact that God is a God who completes his plan and then rests, how can that affect you today? How can that help you in your rest? Right? Okay, that's it. We're going to end. I'm going to just ask that anybody online or anyone here, at the end of every class, we're going to have an open prayer. I'm going to ask you to try not to call him Heavenly Father and Jesus. Just say Elohim. Just talk to him as Elohim. And just a few sentences. It doesn't have to be long. Just two or three sentences. Just say, Elohim, I love you. Elohim, you are so powerful. Whatever he puts on your heart to pray. I'm going to give a few of those and then I'll wrap up.
Elohim, thank you for being the creator that brings order out of chaos. Mm-hmm. And we know that you are the same creator that can bring order out of chaos in our own minds and hearts. Thank you for your restoration.
Elohim, help us to reconcile in our mind and help us to understand what it means when you say that you will complete your plan in us. Will you bring us through the storms like you did Jonah when he ran away from you, in order for us to finally come back, repent, and reconcile, and do your bidding, Lord? What does it mean if we are like Moses and we tell you that we are unable to carry out what you tell us to do, when we say that, choose someone else, Lord? Will you be angry like you were to Moses? And will you still carry out things in our lives? Will you insist that we walk the path that you have planned for us? And what if we don't? How do we recognize when we are not? And how do we redirect our path? Lord, we pray for understanding, Lord. We pray for sensitivity to your word. We pray, Lord, that we will not be too spiritual, too knowledgeable, or too just too proud in our own mind, thinking that we know exactly what you have told us, thinking that we know exactly the path that you've laid out for us. If we're going through turmoil, Lord, if you're training us, we pray, Lord, that you help us to recognize the training, help us to learn fast, help us to recognize your teachings, help us to know the path that you want us to go on, help us to not rebel, help us to not set our own limitations on ourselves or on your abilities, Lord. Help us to achieve more than we can ever imagine or think we can do, because you are our God and you enable us. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand what the meaning of your name Elohim is, that we do not limit you in a box and we therefore should not limit ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.
Elohim, when we see how personal you were with creation, how involved and engaged you are, Lord, it speaks so much to me that you are, how much more personal, Elohim, and engaged you are in my life. And Elohim, I cannot shake this thought that the galaxies all recognize who you are. And I want to bow before you, Elohim. Thank you that every cell moves only where you want it to move, and cells do only what you want it to do. And I thank you, Lord, that everything bows to you, Elohim. We worship you, we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, class, enjoyed it. Bye-bye.